Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Danielle McIlroy is 22 years of age. She has severe endometriosis and she's recently lost her ability to walk. She's now using a wheelchair because of this. Danielle's with me here on Lunchtime Live. You're very welcome to the programme, Danielle. When did you first hear that you had endometriosis?
I actually had my first symptoms growing up when I was 5, and I got my first period when I was 9. So the doctor growing up has always kind of considered that maybe that was an option, but I was always told I was too young, I would have to wait till I was 30. So then I started getting these horrific pains in my legs, and I would start to collapse. And this was happening outside of like my periods because I would be having the most horrific pain inside my periods. So then I went to see a private gynae, and he then told me I had endo when I was 16.
What kind of symptoms, Danielle, did you have?
Growing up, I had the most horrific heavy periods. I would bleed through the biggest pad you've ever seen and the biggest tampons you've ever seen, and those would have to be changed like every half an hour. I actually had only like 15% attendance in school growing up because it was just so horrific.
I love you, Danielle.
And then the pain is just the thing that's the most horrific. It just feels like your whole body has toothaches, and your stomach is being stabbed and it's being turned, you know. It's just, I get this like pain wrapping around me like an elastic band around my pelvis, around my uterus.
And like when you were dealing with all of this at such a young age, before you heard the word endometriosis, what did you think was happening to you?
Well, they just said that, oh, this is like, that's a normal thing to happen with girls your age. Like, don't worry. We'll just stick you on the pill. So I was on the pill when I was like 12 and they stopped my periods. I was on the pill back to back when I was probably about 13, 14.
And did that help at the time? Help to manage it?
It helped a wee bit, because I wasn't bleeding then, it was really just the pain that was there, and it helped kind of bring it down a wee bit. But then, you know, it just has felt like as the years have gone on, it's got more severe. And then since my first laparoscopy, everything has just gone dramatically downhill to the point now I'm completely bedbound.
When did you have that first laparoscopy?
That was in August 2022.
And was the hope that that would have helped to kind of reduce or to remove some of the endometriosis, and that, you know, that some of the pain might subside, that you wouldn't be in as much chronic pain?
Yeah, so it was a diagnostic surgery. So I basically went private to get in with a gynae for my first appointment because I was on the waiting list for years, like since I was like 12. I've always been on the gynae list, and I've only actually ever had 2 appointments off that list. But anyway, I was meant to get surgery with the private consultant on his NHS list, but then because of COVID his list got really long, so then I got offered a surgery with a different gynecologist that I had only met once. And to be honest, the first thing she said to me was that my endo pain wasn't real and I need to go to counselling to just breathe it away. But I was desperate, so I said yes to that surgery, and it's the worst decision I've ever made.
Why, Danielle?
My pain has rapidly got worse. after the surgery, I had to laparoscopies or day procedures. You're meant to go home after them. And I ended up being an inpatient for 3 days, 3 or 4 days. And then I ended up back in hospital a week later because I had had multiple cysts burst. So during the laparoscopy, like, not a lot of stuff was removed. I never got a post-op, and I requested one, and I finally got my post-op of April this year, and that my surgery was in 2022.
And like, in that time, how has your kind of day-to-day life, Danielle, been affected?
I don't really have a day-to-day life anymore. I just, I'm sitting in my room breathing now. To be honest,
you're sitting in your bedroom. Is it? Sorry, Danielle, I just missed what the line just dipped slightly. You're in your bedroom. Are you kind of mostly day to day?
Yeah. It's because I live in an apartment. I'm on the top floor, so we have mobility aids all around the house now, and I have a wheelchair, but I can't even get down the stairs to use my wheelchair. So I am only really out of the house for doctor's appointments and special occasions. So it's just like so lonely and so...
Yeah. And are you living with family or living on your own, Danielle?
I live with my boyfriend, Matt, and he's been amazing. He's had to become a full-time carer of me.
Like, you're 22.
And he works full-time. So it's just like... genuinely horrific, and because of my age, they know doctors will listen to me, and I just don't understand why it can't be looked at by the level of pain, because I don't feel that my age contributes to my pain.
You're in more pain than probably, you know, any other nearly 22-year-old from what you've described today. Are you using a wheelchair basically full-time, Danielle?
Yeah, I have to use a wheelchair.
And can you just maybe explain why that is? Is it because the pain has now left you with an inability to walk?
Yeah. Basically, that's the long and short of it. My pain is so severe that my body just can't support itself. And part of the pain that I get from my endo is in my legs. So I just physically cannot hold myself up anymore. I used to work 12-hour shifts in hospitality and do cheerleading and go to cheer comps on the weekends and, you know, be a social butterfly. Like, I would be go, go, go. Mm. And I was in full-time uni. And now I can't even brush my hair by myself.
You want the doctors to basically re-look at your kind of your whole case, your whole situation again, Danielle, is that right?
Yeah, I just want them to listen to me. The reason I'm in this situation is because doctors do not listen. When they see endo on your chart, they do not listen. My endo has caused me to develop fibromyalgia because my body is in so much severe pain, and I wouldn't have had that if doctors had listened to me, and now I'm going to have this condition for the rest of my life. Do you know?
And are specialist teams, are your family now inquiring with regards to specialist teams across in England and across parts of Europe as well?
Yeah.
And is that with a view to travelling abroad for surgery?
Yeah. I have a physio and a chiropractor, and he has worked quite well in the, you know, kind of getting things done for his clients in the medical world, in terms of, like, you know, really fighting their case, and that's what he's done for me. So he has put a whole letter together for me, basically playing my case, to get second opinions and help with a multidisciplinary team from specialists across the water, because you can't get that over here. Nobody is willing to look at my pain as a whole. My pain has started to cause me chest pains, and I've had PR bleeding for 5 months now, and like nobody. And then I have developed fibromyalgia from my endo because my body has been in constant fight or flight over the last 5 months, and I've had no level of care. So it's just it's just the most insane situation.
It's obviously a big cost, isn't there, with, you know, travelling to the likes of Greece for surgery and, yeah, and other parts. And that's something that you're considering doing.
It's becoming our only option. There's you know, I had an article out with the Irish News yesterday, and the hospital made a comment, and it was just that the hospital is not meant for, you know, gynecological issues. But I was not going for gynecological issues. I was going from the insane pain and extreme symptoms that has been caused by my endo. I'm not going for my endo, if that makes sense. Mm. Because
kind of go hand in hand.
If it has come from a broken bone, or if it's come from an endo, the pain is what I need dealt with. But as soon as they see the word endo on my file, a lot of the time I don't even tell them anymore, because as soon as they see it on my file, they come in and they roll their eyes, and then they just stop looking into what's wrong with me. And then I just wait, and then get told there's nothing I can do. There's no point you going to A&E for this issue. It's not A&E's issue. And then I get shipped home again.
You just feel you're not being listened to, Danielle, from the sounds of it. It's an incredible situation. And I know from talking to so many women over the last number of years who are dealing with endometriosis that it is so debilitating. And to think that at 22 years of age that you're now wheelchair reliant because of the pain you're in is just, I'm sure it must be terribly upsetting, Danielle, for you and your family.
It's extremely upsetting. Even the fact that, like, I'm wheelchair bound, but I'm also pretty bed bound now. So I literally struggle to lift my arms up to brush my hair because I'm getting so weak from being in bed, from the level of pain. I've got bed sores. I've asked the doctors to look into blood clots, but they won't even consider it. They said, unless I'm 80 or have cancer, there's nothing anyone can do for me.
You've been documenting your experience on your social media on TikTok. What kind of a response have you got, Danielle?
Do you know what? It was genuinely one of the best things that I've ever done. And it has been so hard to, you know, actually put all the effort into making the videos and stuff while I've been so ill. But I am over the moon that I've done it, because I've spoken to so many amazing women. Quite a lot of the time in the endo community in the UK, normally when you're in Northern Ireland, you only get to speak to people in England. So, and the experience is just so very different over here, because the system is just so different. So it's just been so nice to speak to people that know the same doctors and like are going through the exact same thing in the same hospitals. And it's just been, everyone is going through this. I'm just the one that's making the most amount of noise. And it's just like, it's absolutely heartbreaking hearing the stories of what people are going through.
Danielle, I wish you all the very best of luck for the future. I hope you get seen to soon, you know, and that there's something can be done to help alleviate some of the pain that you're in, because it is terribly upsetting. You can even hear the distress in your voice, you know, when talking to you today. But look, I do appreciate you finding the time and the energy to chat to us here on Lunchtime Life.
Thank you so much.
The Southeastern Trust, which is responsible for the hospitals involved, has we've got in touch with them to ask them for a response to some of the issues raised by Danielle today. And they've come back, in fairness, with a very lengthy and a detailed statement. And they tell us that the Trust works very hard to ensure patients in a waiting list are seen as quickly as possible, as we completely understand how distressing it is for patients like Danielle to wait for treatment, that she's been seen by Gynae Services in March 2026 and in May of this year and currently on the urgent waiting list for surgery, as also attended the pain clinic in the Ulster Hospital in July of this year and a treatment plan discussed. Emergency departments provide urgent and emergency care for patients. They do not provide ongoing specialist care though, but can refer to relevant services best placed to meet the patient's needs. The demand for gynae services within the Southeastern Trust area unfortunately far outstrips our capacity. This is not the service we wish to provide. Long waiting lists are regrettable, being experienced across every trust within the region. The gynae team is working within the area to improve access to endometriosis services. Our staff are working very hard to see patients as quickly as possible, and we've also spoken directly to Danielle to discuss her concerns further. And in fairness, as I said, it is a detailed statement. Some of the views coming in on this today, well, not the views, the experiences I should say, from our own listeners too. I'm 31, I'm struggling with endometriosis since a young age, and I've also had the laparoscopy and ablation, the very same as Danielle mentioned. It made my pain even worse. There are days that I don't want to leave my bed because it totally inhabits my ability to work, but I am refused disability payment. I also have had deep infiltration endo into my pelvis, my bowel, my chest and my left arm. There are no supports for endo in this country, and I'm saving up now to travel to Greece to get proper treatment, says this listener. Another texter tells me, I've had a similar experience with my own daughter's issue, not endometriosis though, but it was only when the orthopaedic surgeon told me it requested a referral to a pain management specialist team, that my daughter, now in her late teens, and this pain management team, it's been a total game changer for her. They're the only one in the country, and look at the whole area as an entire whole instead of just as a diagnosis. It's relatively new, but they're absolutely amazing, and I hope that maybe perhaps this might help Danielle, because listening to her in the show this Friday, it's absolutely heartbreaking to hear her story. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Drop us an email over the weekend if you want to share your own experience with us about this today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.